we think of aquaculture or fish farming, what comes to mind? Salmon, trout, catfish. How about oysters? Probably not so much, but oysters and other shellfish play a large role in aquaculture.
Oh, I think shellfish is a huge component of aquaculture, and it's really the wave of the future. There are so many things about shellfish aquaculture that make it very sustainable and low environmental impact.
That's Dina Perestu, research geneticist at ARS's National Coldwater Marine Aquaculture Center in Orono, Maine. Aside from the culinary aspect of shellfish, which is a multi-billion dollar industry, shellfish are an essential part of our ecosystem.
Shellfish are filter feeders. They get all of their food from the water column, and they can filter the entire Narragansett Bay, which is where I'm located, in a day and a half. I mean, they're really good at cleaning the water, and so they're really good for water quality. The more shellfish you have out, the better the water quality in the surrounding area is going to be. They're also pretty easy to grow, like low maintenance, but with a positive environmental footprint rather than a negative one.
Unfortunately, many shellfish, such as oysters, have been over-harvested for decades. From a consumer standpoint, this could mean higher prices at the market or restaurant. But there's a bigger environmental impact. As Dr. Perestu mentioned, oysters act as hard-working filters for our oceans and rivers, absorbing toxins and other bad nutrients that could choke oxygen out of our waterways. If the oyster population decreases, our precious waterways become polluted and lack oxygen. Increasing the oyster population is a primary goal at the National Coldwater Marine Aquaculture Center. Researchers like Dr. Perestu raise healthy oysters from little babies until they can be set out in their natural environment.
We bring adult oysters in and we condition those oysters, get them ready to reproduce, and then we allow them to reproduce indoors. Oysters have a complex life cycle where they float around in the water for about 3 to 4 weeks. And then when they're ready, when they're competent to settle, they'll settle down. And they like to settle and attach to hard substrates. Sometimes they attach to one another or to dead shell or to rocky surfaces. And that's how you create oyster reefs. So we keep them in the lab during that whole time. And then when we know they're ready to settle, we add small little pieces of sand or finely ground shell and allow the larvae to settle on that. And that's how we get single oysters.
At this point, the baby oysters are placed in containers and immersed in nutrient-rich water, which allows them to grow fast. Once they reach about 5 or 10 millimeters, they're secured in bags and placed along the coastline, estuaries, and similar waterways. This particular oyster species is native to the East Coast, and therefore can be raised all along the eastern seaboard, from Canada to the Florida Peninsula. Two main challenges to increasing the oyster population are disease and climate change.
They kind of go hand in hand. As the climate is warming, a lot of diseases, specifically parasitic diseases and even bacterial diseases, their range is expanding. And that means that the prevalence of the disease and how it affects the oysters or where it affects the oysters is also expanding. And then, you know, just the impact of climate change on growth and shell strength. Now we don't know what the impact is, but we worry about it because the warming temperature in the oceans is affecting calcification rates. That's a big deal because oyster shells are, you know, made of calcium carbonate. So the deposition rates for shell change. And theoretically, we would get oysters with weaker shell, and that would just make them prone to predation and other things that could harm them.
These growing environmental factors place an even greater importance on Dr. Perestu's research, which aims to produce more seeds that grow quicker and are resistant to common diseases. This often comes down to studying genetics, and Dr. Perestu and her colleagues were the first to map the genome of the eastern oyster, which includes hundreds of thousands of genetic markers. This research will be shared with ARS breeding programs to breed the next generation of oysters.
These are all things that we've been doing, and I'm really excited because I think in the next year or two, we're going to have those associations between genes and phenotypes that will really help move the oyster industry, especially for breeding for disease resistant, in the right direction.